can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died even me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that now my gosh is how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense, I'm free. Oh my God, he found out me. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown in Christ my own. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Welcome everybody. Thank you once again for joining us. Let me get the microphone in the right place and then we can get some good sound. Welcome everyone. We're just so glad to be back this week and so glad that you're able to join us.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody. Thanks for putting up with us again.
Yeah, so how's your week going, Barry?
My week is going fine. Getting ready for the first holiday in a few years, so that'll be exciting. But you know, more on that, you know, in a couple weeks. But how are you doing? I mean, last week you were with the family.
Yeah, last week we were down with our daughter and son-in-law and two grandsons. We're 4 weeks away from the due date of grandchild number three. Wow. Not quite sure. Well, we're not at all sure what it's going to be yet. We're waiting for that. So that's very exciting. We'll be back down to see them once the baby's born, but it's always fun spending time with the boys and our daughter and so on. So yeah, we had a great time. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, that's great.
So where are you off to? Last week you were in Toronto.
Yeah, I was at the School of Ministry in Toronto. A lot of the COVID restrictions are changing now, you know, after the 2 years that we've been in this. So it's just been, just really great to I mean, I've been doing the school, but a lot of the schools have been online. And my wife, Ann, and I were there. And, yeah, just amazing time. I mean, it's just, I so enjoy being there with the students and our friends there, the staff and everything. So, yeah. But,
yeah,
so
good.
We're back at it. And all I can think about now is a vacation.
So next week I will be leading our Father Heart School in the UK. So Barry will be flying solo on his own. And then the following couple of weeks, that's when you're on holiday.
Yeah, I'm heading to Florida. So it's a little warmer than up here in Canada, even though it is technically spring. It was quite chilly this morning.
So you still got snow on the ground.
No snow. No, we're really thankful. There was a storm that came through. Actually, was it today? No, it's coming through today. But where we are, we're only getting rain. Mm-hmm. But in other parts of Ontario, they're getting 20 to 40 centimeters of snow.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of impossible thing for us Brits to even comprehend.
Thankful we missed it by just a few degrees because we're warm enough just to get the rain. One thing to mention too, for anybody from North America, of course, we're broadcasting at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time now. But now next week we will be back to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when our friends in Europe kind of catch up with the daylight savings time, and then everything will be as normal.
Yes, and next week 3 o'clock in the afternoon for North Americans, Eastern Standard.
Yeah,
and obviously same time in UK, same time in Europe. So
yeah.
And then so when you're on holiday, I'll be flying solo.
Yes, you will be.
We might have a guest speaker then. I'll have to try and work on that for one of those weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well. It'll be fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy the beach, Barry. Got your bucket and spade ready.
Do some sandcastles. Some serious, the serious business of building sandcastles.
Absolutely, yes. I was doing a little bit of that over the weekend, but not very successfully, I have to say. Anyway, so, Barry, do you want to just pray for us before I kick off with what we're doing tonight?
Oh, for sure. Great. Father, we thank you that it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. And we thank you for the promise that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is absolute freedom. And so, as Mark talks tonight about a free heart, Father, we were created to be free. Yeah. You designed us in the very core of our being to live a free life. So, Father, we just pray that we will all have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying through Mark, and that we would be able to, to experience a deeper revelation of that reality tonight, that you desire for us to be free. And, Father, I just pray for Mark as he shares his heart tonight, that, it would just be very clear what's on his heart, and that he would be able to have the freedom to share it. So we just say thank you for all of our friends around the world that are joining us tonight, and we pray blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'll bring you back in a few minutes.
Right.
Thanks. So, I've called this a free heart. It's really, and I just want to share a few thoughts that are buzzing around, really, because, you know, when our heart is closed or when we live out of our mind, it's kind of very restrictive, you know, it's very limited. And, you know, a closed heart, it almost feels like our heart is in a box and it's contained and it's limited and it's just got the boundaries of the box. But somehow when our heart comes alive, we're set free from the box. And I guess that's really what I want to talk about a little bit today, is just being free from the box. Because the Father doesn't want us to live in a box. Jesus didn't come and say, I've come, you know, Jesus didn't say, I've come that you might have life and life according to the box. You know, he came and said, life and life in all its abundance. The Holy Spirit is definitely not contained in a box. And I really believe it's our destiny, it's part of our inheritance to really be free from the box, really be free from the limitations. And there's a verse I just want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 11 to 13. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation, because when I read this from the Message translation a while ago, it really struck me about the nature of our life, the nature of our journey with Father, the nature, the fruit, I guess, the fruit of living in love. So 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 13 from the Message, it says this: Dear, dear Corinthians. Now, even in that opening, you can feel Paul's heart, you know, dear, dear Corinthians. It's like he's really reaching out to them. He's imploring them. He's drawing them into something. He says, dear, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And I guess the reason I like those verses is because that's what I want my life to be like. You know, I feel I've begun to enter a wide open, spacious life, and I want to pursue it in a greater way. I want to discover more of the freedom of that wide open space that the Father has set before each one of us. You see, and here I really feel Paul here is wooing and drawing his listeners in, and he's saying to them, can't you step into this wide open, spacious life? We didn't fence you in. You know, the teachings we've given you, the instructions we've given you, the ministry we've given you, that's not a fence to keep you in a limited place. It's something to set you free. We haven't fenced you in, but you're living your life in a small way. Your lives aren't small, he says, but you're living them in a small way. And that smallness comes from within them, because their hearts aren't free. And I really, really, really identify with that. I do not want to live a small life. You know, I don't want my life to be small. I don't want my life to be limited. I don't want it to be restricted. I don't want it to be curtailed in any way. I want to discover the wide open space. And I want to live in it. And I want to go on exploring it and finding out what it's like. You see, that's what a free heart will do. It will set us free to live in the wide open space. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for what Father's done in my life. I'm so grateful for the ministry of my dear friends James and Denise Jordan, who, you know, have enriched my life incredibly with this amazing revelation that has transformed everything. And I just feel like the door has opened and my heart has been set free. And what I want to do this evening is I just want to give that as an encouragement for all of us to say, folks, we don't have to live in a small way. We don't have to live a small life. We don't have to live restricted or curtailed. What the Father's got for us is a wide open space. And Paul says, I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your life, live openly and live expansively. And that's, I guess the reason I'm excited about this is because that's what I really feel I want to do. I want to live openly. I want to live expansively. I don't want to be restricted in any way. And I just want to encourage us with, I just want to encourage us with that this evening. That you don't have to live in a small way. You can live openly and you can live expansively. And it's all about our heart becoming free. The more our heart becomes free, the more we will be able to enter this wide open space. And our heart becomes free when it's touched and filled with the love of the Father. In Luke 15, we know the story very well. We know the story of the two sons. You know, neither of them, at the start of the story, neither of those two boys were living from their heart. One of them, the younger one, he was just living out of his pride, out of his independence, out of his rebellion. And those characteristics, that pride, that independence, it took him away. It took him away from the father's house. It took him off on that journey to try and make a name for himself, try and discover himself and, you know, try and make meaning for himself. You know, he wasn't free. He was bound up in his rebellion. The older son was bound up in his religious duty. Jesus makes that very clear in the story that he's, when he's talking about the older son, he's talking about the religious leaders of the day. They weren't free. They weren't free. They were bound up with all of the religion, all of the rules, all of the duty. You know, in the 400 years between the end of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they added about 300, 350, 400 maybe, laws to the law of Moses. You know, they were just making rules up. And I think they probably started out with a good motive of trying to sort of give people a framework that would enable them to keep the law. But they ended up creating rules and regulations that trapped people. And they themselves, the Pharisees, were trapped. And Jesus tells this story of the two sons, and neither of them are living from their heart. They've both become trapped, one in rebellion, one in religion. And Jesus tells the story with the hope of sowing the seed of freedom. And we know that the younger son comes home. And the younger son doesn't come home to be a son. The younger son simply comes home because he's hungry. He wants food. He wants a roof over his head. And he comes home to be a servant. You know, he recognizes that the servants of his father are better off than he is. And he says, I will go home and be a servant. But of course, the father has none of it. And it's in that welcome and it's in that homecoming that the younger son's heart is set free. You know, and I guess like, you know, the rest of us, is a journey you go on. You know, you step into freedom and then you go on walking into freedom. And I guess that's what the younger son did. When the father put his robe on around him, put a ring on his finger, put some sandals on his feet, I guess that the younger son thought, I'm free. I really am a son. You know, and that would have been the beginning of the journey of him walking out in his freedom and the joy of that homecoming. See, and I believe that's where it starts for each one of us, is that for our heart to become free, we've got to have a homecoming. We've got to come home to the Father. We've got to allow our broken, wounded heart, which is maybe steeped in pride, it may be steeped in independence, it may be steeped in rebellion, it may be steeped in religious duty. We've got to allow that heart that is basically in a box, we've got to allow that heart to come home. And it's in the homecoming that we begin to experience our freedom. it's in the homecoming that our heart is set free. And I really just want to say at this point is I really believe we need an initial homecoming when we know that our heart comes home for the first time. And the joy of that and the excitement of that is just overwhelming, you know. But I actually believe we need to go on having homecomings because there's always more of our heart that we need to bring back home. There's always more of our heart we need to open up to the Father and say, Father, there's this bit of my heart that's been closed for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but I can trust you with it. I bring it to you. See, it's all about trusting our heart to the Father and saying, here's my heart. Here's my heart. And we bring a bit more of our heart home. You see, at the end of Lamentations, at the end of Lamentations chapter 5, there's a really clear picture, I think, or a really clear description of how sad it is when our heart hasn't come home, when our heart's not free. And this is how this is how it's described by Jeremiah in Lamentations. So it's chapter 5 is verses 15 to 17. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. For this our heart has become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim. Isn't that just a sad, sad picture? That the joy that they had experienced, the joy that we're supposed to experience, has been turned into mourning. The crown has gone from their head. And worst of all, their heart has become sick. You see, when our heart is left in the box, when our heart is restricted, when our heart is not enjoying the freedom it was made for, we've got a sick heart. We've got a sick heart. And I read that and it's so sad, it's so desperate. And you can just read that and it can make you lose hope. But I want to look at the other side of the coin, which we read in Isaiah chapter 51. Because this gives us hope. This gives us hope for a free heart. This gives us hope for a heart transplant. It gives us hope for a transformation. Isaiah 51 verse 3, the Lord will surely comfort Zion, and he will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Isn't that so much the opposite picture to what we've just read in Lamentations? In Lamentations, the joy's gone, the crown's fallen off their head, their heart is sick. But here in Isaiah, there's a great picture, a great declaration of hope. The Lord will comfort Zion. And I want to say to you tonight, the Lord will comfort you. The Lord will comfort you, and he will look with compassion on your ruins. He will make your desert like the Garden of Eden, your wasteland like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in you. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. When our heart comes alive, when our heart is set free, when we start to explore that wide open space, there's a transformation that goes on in our heart. That instead of sorrow and sadness, there is joy and gladness. Verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 51. Those the Lord has rescued, they will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. And again, I just want to make that personal for you. Those The Lord has rescued. You've been rescued by the Lord. You will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown your head. Gladness and joy will overtake you, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a picture of restoration. And that, my friends, is what we live in, or can live in. We don't have to live in the sadness and the sorrow of Lamentations, where their hope has gone, their hope has been destroyed, and their hearts are feeling sick. We can allow ourselves, we can be willing to come home, and we can bring our heart to the Father and say, Father, I trust you with my heart, and I want to bring my heart home to your love. I want my heart to be transformed. I want my heart to be filled with your love. And that's the beginning of our heart being set free. And it's a glorious experience. And I know Barry's, his heart's come home. I know many of you, your hearts have come home. I know my heart's come home. But I want to say there's always more. You know, if you've begun to explore the wide open space, then there's more of the wide open space for you to explore. And I want to encourage you, you know, whatever state, you know, don't live a small life, but live openly and expansively, because Jesus came to show us how to live from the heart. That's what he did. He lived from the heart. He lived from a heart relationship of just being so united and one with his Father. And he says, hey guys, you've got the same oneness. You've got the same unity with the Father that I have. You can have that same unity. You can live from the heart like I live from the heart. You see, he challenged the religious perceptions of the day. He challenged the religious mindset of the day. He challenged the box. And he said, you don't have to live in a box. I've come to set you free. John 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. I've come that you might have life and an abundant life. See, there's no limitations. And I feel sometimes, you know, I talk to people and they've had an encounter with the Father. They've had an encounter with the Father's love, and it's changed them. And it's clearly changed them, but they, you know, so many people that I talk to, they stop at that point. And they say, oh, I've had an encounter with the Father, but they don't realize there's much, much more. And they settle with what they've got and what they've had, and it's been good and it's been great. But I want to say to you guys, please, please don't settle. Please don't settle. There's always more. And I feel so passionately about this that I want to give my life, the rest of my life, however long that is, I want to give the rest of my life to pursuing that freedom, that wide open space, that joy of walking with the Father. See, Jeremiah 24 verse 7, it says, I will give them a heart to know me, to know that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart. They will seek me with all of their heart, another translation says. You see, this is the transformation that we go through when we encounter the love of the Father. When we meet the Father, when our heart comes home, when he puts that robe around us and he puts that ring on our finger and he puts a sandal on our feet and he says, come into the party, you know, come home, be at home. See, he's giving us a heart to know who he really is. And that's not just a one-off encounter. That's a lifelong journey of getting to know who the Father really is and who he is to you, who he wants to be to you. Every day. Because he wants to be a father to us every day. And that expression of God being a father to us is different each day, because we have different needs and we have different wants and we have different pains and different struggles, and we say, Father, in this struggle today, in this need today, in this whatever today, will you father me? See, he's giving us a heart to know him. And the more we seek him, the more we will find him. And he wants us to seek him with all of our hearts so that we find him. It really is a heart transformation. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I will bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. Paul translates that verse in 2 Corinthians 6:18 as I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters. You see, not only is our heart completely transformed, it's not like he takes the old one and polishes it up a bit and scrubs it clean. He says, I'm going to give you a heart transplant. I'm going to take out your old heart, your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a new heart. And it's going to be a new heart that contains my spirit. And it's my spirit that will cause you to walk in my ways. Yeah, come on. How many of us have tried to walk in his ways in our own strength? You know, I have. You know, we all do it. You know, we want to do the right thing, and we do it with all the right motives most of the time. You know, we want to follow him. We want to give our lives to him, but we do it in our own strength. And it's hard work, and we wonder why we fail, and we wonder why we struggle, and we wonder why it's so difficult. And yet, this prophetic word in Ezekiel is so important, because what we see here is the key for our transformation. We see the key for our heart transplant. It's a transplant. The old is taken out. The new is put in. We get a new heart. It's a heart to know him. It's a heart that's got a home. It's a heart that's come home. And that heart is filled with his spirit. And in Romans 5, verse 5, of course, we read it's through the Holy Spirit that God pours his love into our hearts. And he puts his spirit in us, and it's his spirit in us that causes us to walk in his way. That is so liberating. That is so freeing. Because I have tried, you've tried, we've tried. We've tried desperately hard to walk in his ways. We've tried desperately hard to keep his laws. And we can do it for a day, 2 days, a week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month. But then we can't do it anymore. And we run out. And we beat ourselves up because we failed again and again. And we think, oh, okay, I've got to try harder. And we try harder. But the key is, it's not about us. I will put my spirit in you. And that's the thing that will cause you to walk in my ways. See, that's the thing that sets our heart free. When we stop trying, when we stop performing, when we stop trying to make it work, when we stop trying to do it in our own strength, and we say, Father, I give up. I submit. Let's do it the easy way. Father, I want more of your spirit. I want more of your life to show me what your ways are and to cause me, to motivate me to walk in your ways. I love that. I think it's the English Standard Version says, I will put my spirit in you and it will motivate you to walk in my ways. You know, it's the spirit of God that motivates us. It's not our own energy. It's not our own will. It's the Spirit of God. And that's what sets our heart free. And this is just what I really want to encourage us with today. Is it really is possible. Because it's not down to us. We've got a promise here Ezekiel 36, we got a promise as clear as anything. I'm going to do a heart transplant. You're going to have major heart surgery. I'm taking out the old one. It doesn't work. It's no good. It's finished. I'm giving you a new heart that works. And I'm giving you my spirit to make it go on working. And that's the only way. That is the only way we can walk in his ways. That's the way of peace. That's the way of joy. That's the way of rest. That's the way when we don't strive. We just are motivated by his spirit. Yeah, of course we get, you know, we mess up occasionally, you know, we get it wrong and we have a little jaunt and down Independence Lane. But when our hearts come home, we know where we live. When our hearts come home and we've had a homecoming, you know, on those occasions when we go down Independence Lane, we know where to go. We go back home. Because there's a longing in our heart for home, and that's where we live, that's our dwelling place, that's where we want to go back to. And we're drawn back home. And now it's, oh, Father, yeah, I've done it again. And he's so forgiving, and he just washes us through, and he says, okay, that's okay, no worries. I'll put my spirit in you, and it's my spirit that will cause you to walk in my ways. You see, true freedom, and this is really difficult for some people to understand, but true freedom is not you having the ability or the right to do as you please. That's not freedom. And that's what people think freedom is. People think freedom is the ability to do as they please. But it's not freedom. True freedom is a totally submitted heart. Jesus was totally free. Totally free. Jesus was totally free, and he had a totally submitted heart. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only go where my Father is leading me. My will is to do the will of him who sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me, Jesus says. You see, freedom is a totally submitted heart. Not to the ways of the world, not to religious duty, but yoked in submission to him. Yoked in relationship. My burden is light, my yoke is easy, Jesus said. See, when we live, when we submit ourselves to that yoke of relationship, totally submitted heart, we become totally free. And I just want to throw that out there as an encouragement, because I think there's a real misunderstanding about what freedom is. But Jesus shows us clearly that freedom is to be totally submitted to the Father. And people don't like that word, submission. They think, oh, no, can't be submitted. But, do you know, that's the place where we find freedom. Because, you know, when you look at little children, before they grow up too much, they haven't developed their independence. They haven't developed their own way of doing things or their own will. They are totally content to do what is given them to do. Hopefully without too many questions, but you know, they can submit to that will because they haven't discovered the pathway of independence. And for us it's the same as the Father's kids. Our freedom is found in a totally submitted heart. And so we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. We need to guard the treasure that Father's put in it. You see, we will begin to see things when our heart is free. We will begin to see things from a new perspective. And the perspective we see things from will be the heavenly perspective. And that's very different to the worldly perspective. It's very, very different to the religious perspective. And so when we start to see things from the heart, when we start to live from our heart, we will see things differently. And that will often cause a clash between the world. It will cause a clash between us and religion. And so we need to guard our heart. We need to safeguard the freedom that the Father's put in our heart, the freedom that we've walked into. Because the enemy, if he can steal our freedom, he's doing a good job. You know, he doesn't have to make a sin or fall morally or financially. You know, if he steals our freedom, he makes us ineffective. And he's pretty good at doing it. And so we need to guard our heart. A free heart is misunderstood by those who are still in prison. See, they judge from their perspective. But we're free. See, a prisoner's just got the four walls around him and the door's shut. And he's behind bars. He can't go anywhere, he can't do anything, he can't get out to exercise. He's in his cell 23 hours a day, he gets food through a slot in the door. You know, it's a prison. And there are people who are trapped in a prison, whether it's religion or performance or duty, and they see people with a free heart and they can't cope with it. Maybe they long for it themselves, but they realize they're in a prison. And so I want to just encourage us now, in a minute or two I'll invite Barry back, but I want to encourage you to look forward into the freedom that is yours. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do you know, I don't know what it's like in other countries, but in the UK, the re-offending rate for prisoners when they're released from prison in the UK, within 1 year of being released from prison, 40% of offenders will reoffend. Within 9 years of being released from prison, 80% of offenders will reoffend. And, you know, I was looking at those statistics the other day and I thought, why is that? And I think the answer is they've left prison, they've been set free, but they don't know how to live freely. See, it's like they come out of prison and they stand on the road outside the prison gates and they turn around and they look back at the prison and they say, thank goodness I'm free from that. I've been set free from that. Oh, I'm so glad I'm no longer in prison. You know, and they look at the prison and they say, thank goodness I'm free. The problem is, if they keep looking at the prison, it acts like a magnet and it draws them back in. See, what they need to do is turn around and say, I don't know what's down this road, but it's freedom. And I'm going to walk into it. And I think that's why a lot of offenders reoffend, because they don't know how to be free. I think that's why a lot of Christians are drawn back into the yoke of slavery or the yoke of servanthood, because they don't know how to be free. And I just simply want to encourage you. I want to go back to that verse in Corinthians and just read it again. And I feel like I want to be a bit like Paul, you know, dear people. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. You're not fenced in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your life isn't small, but you're living it in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And if you're feeling today that your life is a bit small, maybe you've had a homecoming in the past, maybe you've had an encounter with the love of the Father in the past, maybe you kind of realize a lot of what this is about, but you realize you've just got stuck. You stagnated. I just want to say to you, you don't have to stay like that. There's a wide, open, spacious life in front of you. You're not fenced in. Your life isn't small. Live openly and expansively. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. And we discover that my experience, I know many of you, your experience is that when you encounter the love of the Father, when you bring your heart to him and say, Father, this heart, it needs to be filled with your love. When he pours his love into your heart becomes free. And I just want to encourage you and say, don't stop, but go on. Go on, go on, allowing him to pour his love into your heart. So Barry, my friend, if you want to come back, I'm sure you've got plenty to add.
I don't know what I can add to that, my brother. That was so good to hear. The thing that did come to mind, it's this idea of the new heart that we have, and I love what you said about freedom isn't just doing what you want in that sense of the independent way, but it's being so connected with Jesus and our union with Him that we begin to flow out of that new heart, which is a submitted heart, right? It's a heart that is in connection with our big brother. But I think of Philippians 2:13, you know, that says, "For it is God who works in us to will and to do His good pleasure." And the idea of that, what happens with that new heart that we have is that we get, it actually, in a sense, I really believe that there can be this beautiful simplicity that comes. And it's not this, I'll do what I want, I'm selfish, I'm self-centered, but it's just being in union with the Godhead that we begin to desire what God desires. Yeah. And that just brings this beautiful sense of freedom. You know, I don't know, you know, how many people, when I've prayed for people in the past and just said, you know, what is in your heart's desire? Mm. Are you connected with the true heart's desires? And they look at me with a kind of a blank stare or maybe sadness and say, I don't know what my desires are because I've never given myself freedom, permission to actually ask that question. And I think part of that freedom that you're talking about, when we reconnect to that new heart that God has given us, and then we can trust that, you know, because you talk about not even being free, and you know, how many people are living with trying to make everybody else happy, trying to you know, please their parents, trying to please their boss, trying to, and so we live a life that's not free. We're not living from that new heart. We're living from this place of trying to anticipate what everybody else wants from me. And I think that's part of this journey that we're on, is that the more that we realize we're loved because we're loved, because we're loved, that then we start to understand that God designed us before creation. The Bible says that, Ephesians 2:10, that we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. That He created us to do good works in advance, you know, in Christ. And so I think part of that freedom that, you know, I think, you know, I'm with you on it. It's just, I'm very passionate about it. It's just that for people to come alive and reconnect it to the new heart that God's given them. So good.
Good. Why don't we put a bit of music on, eh?
Sure. Sounds good, mate.
Let's just bring our hearts to the Father. Let's just say, Father, here's my heart. I want it to be free.
Yeah.
I want the wide open space. Just let your heart come home. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, just very simply today, Father, very simply, we bring our heart to you.
Yeah, Abba.
Father, very simply, we trust you with our heart.
Yeah.
It's the best place to give it, really.
Yeah.
And Father, we just want our heart to come home so it can find freedom in you. True freedom in you, Father. It's the freedom that Christ set you free. So, Father, we just want the box around our heart, the cage around our heart, the prison around our heart. We want that to be broken down.
Yeah.
We want to step out into freedom. And, Father, we don't want to look back at what we've been set free from. As wonderful as that miracle is, we don't want to dwell on the past of what we are free from, but we want to look forward and walk into the freedom that you have for us to enjoy. We've been set free from something, but we've been set free for something. Set free to be someone. And Father, may we find what that is. Father, would you pour your love into our hearts? Father, would you just pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that in our time, just in this time, whatever's going on in our lives, Father, we just ask for that expansion and outpouring of your Spirit into our heart that just lets us know we're loved. And whatever we face tomorrow, Father, whether it's a challenge or a difficult situation or a new situation or something at work or something in the family, maybe it's just a struggle we're facing, Father, we just want you to be a Father to us in that situation, in those situations. That we wouldn't default to try and do it ourselves and push through in our own strength, but we would just say, Father, in this situation right now, in this situation that I'm facing right now, will you be a Father to me? To me, right now. In this struggle, in this pain, in this challenge, would you be a Father to me? Because as he comes alongside, he leads us through those things, because that's what a Father does. And so, Father, just let that life blow into our heart, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You know, Father, every area in our lives that we feel captive.
Yeah.
We feel imprisoned. Would you, by your beautiful Holy Spirit, just set us free?
Yeah.
Our mindsets, from beliefs, from things that have defined us in our past.
Yeah.
Wow, judgments, life experiences, Father, and even religious belief systems, Father, would you just set your kids free?
Yeah.
Because it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free.
Yeah.
Father, all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the glorious freedom of the children of God. So, Abba, we want to be free. Would you show us how to live a free life?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That we don't have to trust in the predictability of a prison cell.
Yeah.
Square meals a day and all of those things. But we can actually go into those open spaces, in the open field.
Yeah.
But trusting that you will direct us by the desires of our heart, the new heart that you've given us, Abba. Thank you that it is you, Jesus, that set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not us trying to free ourselves from anything. You have declared us free.
Mm.
Wow.
Thank you, Father.
So, Father, we just ask for just a deeper revelation by your Spirit on what that practically means to walking out this freedom today, tomorrow, next week, in our job, in our families, just in our own headspace, Father, our thought life. Would you just set your kids free?
Yeah. Amen. Hey.
Amen.
Freedom is unlimited, folks. So enjoy. And come back next week and join Barry. I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. And don't forget North America. It's back to East Coast time, 3 o'clock. We'll see you all then. Thank you all for joining us.
See everybody.